If there's a title this morning, it's Expectation, the Motivation of Faith. Hebrews 11:6, one of my favorite verses, says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Do you believe that God is? Now, you would say, probably all of us were here, we would say, yeah, we believe that God is. So do you live your life as if God is? Do you live according to what you know God would be about? Because sometimes we live our lives as if, well, okay, that's church, and that's what I do on Sundays, and this is the rest of my life. How many of you know that God didn't save just Sunday morning? He saved your entire life. And that's his desire. He doesn't want you just to do things out of duty. He wants you to do things out of devotion as a son or devotion as a daughter of his. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We have to start from the premise that God is real and that he wants involvement in your life. He doesn't just want a cursory hi now and then, but he actually wants commitment. He wants a relationship with us. Now, it says in Romans 10:11, it says that, and this is a familiar faith passage. Or 17, rather. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So our faith comes because we hear. That may be through preaching, it may be through the word of God, it can be in a number of different ways, but hearing then by the word of God. The word of God tells us what we can expect from God. And so expectation is essentially the motivation, the essence of our faith. We have an example of David. In Psalm 62:5-8, he says this, "My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in him. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. I was going to do something that I forgot to do, but how many of you know what Selah means? Okay. It means to take a musical moment. It's a musical term. So I should have Alyssa up here playing the keyboard quietly for about 40 seconds as we consider what has just been said. That's a Selah. Expectation. Looking forward to an event that is about to happen. Looking for something as due, proper, or necessary. The prospect of a future good. The other evening, Nancy and I went to the Skinny Dip, and we got ice cream. All right, that's not inappropriate. But it is a little suspect with the word skinny in the title for an ice cream place. I mean, I was really hopeful, and it didn't work. But and so we go into this ice cream place, and it's one of those kind of places where you go, you get your own ice cream, you put your toppings on, and then you pay by weight. Wonderful business model. I like this. Now, I walked up to the ice cream machine. We used to have a restaurant way back in another lifetime, and I knew what they were, cleaned them, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I walk up to this, I've never seen that ice cream machine work. But you know what? It's an ice cream place. I have faith that there's ice cream inside, and I expect that if I pull the lever down, the ice cream's going to come out. Make sense? That's expectation. Haven't seen it, Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's evidence because somebody else has been there before us and they had like three kids and the kids were all sticky. So I know there's ice cream around, but I hadn't experienced it yet until I had to pull the handle down for myself and I got skinny dip ice cream. It was good. Now, David here, he says, my soul waits silently for God and only for him. Now, here David is speaking to himself. How many of you talk to yourself? Okay, probably don't raise your hands, but how many of you actually answer yourself? All right, that's where you don't raise your hands because they say that's not good. I don't know who they are, but that's what they say. David is talking to himself, and he tells himself to remain in a place of trust and surrender. He's encouraging himself in God. And sometimes we need to encourage ourselves too, because there's times when we look at our lives, we look at our situation, and we say, well, what's going to happen? God, are you really here? Do you really see me? And we don't really expect God to move or to work. We just are simply kind of focused on our reality, and we forget that we have God, that we have a Father that really does care, a good, good Father, as we sang this morning. And yet David here is saying, wait a minute, I'm going to focus on God. David went through some stuff. David was a very human man. Sometimes we need to talk ourselves into faith. And this is what David was doing. We need to encourage ourselves in God as well. To say, Kenton, continue to trust in him. Kenton, just continue to walk with him. Kenton, he is strong. He is faithful. He's powerful. He's done it before. He's going to do it again. Just hang in there. Move forward. Pastor Gerald used to say, just stay the course. Just keep going. Because we expect God to move. That is our faith. We expect God to save us because we have prayed, we have received him as our Savior. And when we do that, you know, none of us have experienced heaven yet, but that's an expectation. And that relationship begins on earth with him. David says, my expectation and my hope is from him. His expectation, his hope is from him based on the fact that he has experienced this before. He's seen God protect him. He was out running from Saul and Saul never did get him. God went ahead of him. David was anointed king when he was a younger, like a young teen. And yet it was another, 14, 15 years. He was 30 couple until he actually became king. His expectation, his hope. He only is my rock and my salvation. David is saying, I can't really trust myself. Have you ever come to the end of yourself and you realize you're just not smart enough to figure that one out? You know, I just don't have the energy I used to have. I just don't have what it's going to take. I've been there, done that. No, I'm not there. God, I have no other hope but you. And so David is turning to God here. The key is that we turn to God before we get to that place of desperation, not when we get there. We let him intercede before us. We continually do that. He is my defense, and I will not be moved or shaken. Again, David is encouraging himself. I'm not going to stray. I'm going to keep myself focused on God. I'm going to keep myself focused on what he wants to do and what he wants me to do. I'm not going to be looked to the left. I'm not going to look to the right. I'm not going to be distracted, but I'm going to focus on what God would have me to be and do. And David repeats this. Sometimes when you talk to yourself, do you ever repeat yourself? You find yourself saying the same things over and over. That's David. He did that. I will not be moved. In verse 2 of this psalm, he says the same thing, except there he says, I will not be greatly moved. This time he just says, I'm not going to be moved. First time he said, I'm not going to be moved much. But this time he's settled. And David's confidence has grown. See, when we begin to see God work in our lives, we have an expectation that he's going to continue to provide. He's going to continue to go ahead of us. We're going to continue to walk in his favor. And our confidence grows so that when we face the similar kinds of situations in the future, we have experience to look back on and say, you know what? God did it for me. He saw me through. Here comes this one. God's going to see me through this one as well. Amen? When you have that assurance, when you have that experience, you have that confidence, you can face looking forward knowing that God is going to move on your behalf. And you expect him to do so. Because it's one thing to know God and to kind of know about God. It's another thing to know that he really has your best interest at heart and that you can confidently know that he is going to go ahead of you. And no matter what happens, he's not going to leave you. He is not going to forsake you. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. All this is Bible. We just simply walk in it. We walk in it. And David says, my salvation and my glory is God. He is the rock of my strength. I'm not the rock of my strength. My spouse isn't the rock of my strength. My God is the rock of my strength. If God's not real, you have no rock. If God's not real, then you have really nothing except for being delusional. But when you know that God is real, you expect him to work on your behalf. So let me ask you a question. When you pray, do you expect God to answer? Yes. Or do you hope that he answers? There's a difference. Because if we hope that he answers, then it's kind of like, well, I'm going to cast this prayer out there, and God, I hope you hear me. God, I'm going to cast this in front of you, and you know what, God, I hope you're going to come through. Or, God, here's my prayer. I expect you, because I am your son, because you call me a saint in the word of God, because you are for me, not against me, because we have a relationship. I expect you. Now, he may not do it in my time frame. He may not answer me the way I want him to answer. But make no mistake, God is with us. God is with us through everything that we're facing. I've heard people and say, well, but God didn't answer my prayer. No, normally it's God didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted it answered. All right, that's really what's going on. God, the Bible says that God knows us better than we know ourselves. Sometimes we ask for things that really aren't good for us. And God, knowing us better than we know ourselves, we think we know more than we think than we actually do. And so God answers, and then we're not willing to accept that. Now, that doesn't mean sometimes the answers take time. It may take a week. It may take a year. It may take 5 years. It may fall to my sons to actually walk out the answer that God gives me. But that's where expectation comes in, knowing that God will go ahead. You know, David was a king. And yet he didn't build the temple. He had a heart to build the temple. He probably prayed, God, let me build you a house. I think he did. God said, no, but your son will build the house. So what did David do? David said, well, if I can't build a house, then I'm going to get everything ready for him. Got the wood, the stone, the craftsman, all that kind of stuff. Set everything up so that when Solomon came along, Solomon built the greatest temple that had been built. And David says, God is my refuge. God is where I go to find peace. God is where I go to find strength. And David may have been tempted to trust in many other things, But he resisted this, and you and I need to resist that too. Because our temptation is to try to be as self-sufficient as possible. We try to do things in our own strength. We try to have our own resources. We try to set things up so that we are secure. But the reality is the only security that you and I have as children of God and as human beings is what we find in God. I've met people that had their retirement totally planned only to have the market fall, and all of a sudden they don't have near what they had, and they're like, well, what am I going to do? Very real question. Sometimes God puts us in a position where all we can do is trust him and expect him to work on our behalf. Now the psalm here then takes a little turn, because Psalm 62:8, he speaks to all of us. He speaks to the congregation. He says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And David is talking to the people that are coming to his tabernacle. He's saying, listen up, everyone. I'm trusting in God. I want you to trust in God too. I want you to expect God to move. I'm expecting him to move. I want you to expect God to move too. Trust God with your sorrows, your joys, your concerns, your doubts. Trust him with your situations. Trust him with your family. Trust him with your finances. Trust him with life. Trust him with success. Trust him with everything that's on your heart and mind. Bring them to God. Allow him to make more, to do more, to be more than you can even think or imagine. You don't even know how to ask for what God wants to give us as his children. And so God is a refuge for us all. And so David not only encourages himself, he also encourages God's people. God is our refuge. God is your refuge. Selah. Take a moment to consider this. We're going to be concerned about things. It's human. The question is, what do we do with the concern? Do we worry? Do we fret? Do we strive? Do we struggle? Or do we find God's peace knowing that he is a good, good God and we can rely and have faith in his faithfulness? Amen. So my encouragement this morning is expect God to move. Expect God to move. Yes. This motivates our prayer. When we expect God to move, we may not know when. We may not know how. But like David, we seek God because we trust that he will move on our behalf. And in trusting that God will move on our behalf, we are confident of his love. We're confident of his mercy. We're confident of his power. We're confident of his provision. And therefore, we can stand in faith believing that he will act. He's done it before. He'll do it again. And if you've never experienced this, I want to encourage you, just say a prayer, a silent prayer under your breath. Just say, God, reveal yourself to me. Because, Lord, I've never experienced you this way. And a young lady that basically was not a believer, and she said, you know, I would accept God if he would reveal himself to me. And what's interesting is God did. And she did. It's a simple prayer. We're confident in him, and therefore we can stand in faith believing that he will act. And so we're motivated to pray because we know he hears our prayers. We don't think he does. We don't hope he does. He does, according to the word of God. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. What does the word of God say? That God hears our prayers. So, understand, we accept the Bible. We accept that on faith that God is hearing. So pray. Ask God. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Doesn't mean we ask presumptuously. It means that we are confident that when we ask according to his will, that he will indeed do that. The key is, what is God's will, and pray that. We can live in confidence knowing that God will deliver on his promises. And so we expect it. And this motivates our faith. I want us to stand. And listen, I want you to come. And what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to hold your hands out in front of you with the palms up, just like this. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to minister to some of you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Minister your presence. If you need a physical healing, I want to invite you just to place your hand near or on that place where you need to be healed. Holy Spirit, release your healing power over these, your children, your sons, your daughters. Lord, we thank you for your body that was broken for us, for our healing. We receive your healing this morning. Expect God to move in your body, on your body. I'm just seeing the word finances. Say, God, I expect you to move in my finances. Don't know how, don't know when, but I am your child. And you promise, Lord, that you will provide. Say, Lord, I receive your provision. Necessarily, you're not ready to separate, but it's like there's been dissension and division. And I just want to encourage you to reach your hand out, take the hand of your spouse if you're that couple, because God wants to begin a healing process in each of you. And husband, you are going to be a minister of healing to your wife, and wife, you are going to be a healing, an agent of ministering to your husband. And God's going to utilize that, because you, he has brought you together, and you are stronger together than you are apart. So God, I pray blessing upon this marriage. And there's people here that doubt, just a few. And I'm going to ask you to pray the same prayer I already asked, to say, God, reveal yourself to me. Don't take my word for God's goodness and for his provision and for his faithfulness. Go to God for yourself. Say, God, reveal these things to me. And get specific with God. God, reveal these things. Reveal your power to me. Reveal your provision to me. Reveal your strength to me. The Bible says that God heals the brokenhearted. And some of you, somebody has a broken heart. Lord, restore the heart. Restore her inner being. Thank you, Father. Father, you are an awesome God. It's a joy. Father, sometimes it's a challenge. But Lord, you have always been faithful to me. You have been faithful to this congregation. You've been faithful to my family. I know you'll be faithful to these families. We thank you for your faithfulness. And so just take a moment and offer up an offering, if you will, an offering of thanksgiving to God. Because that's part of what Hebrews 13:15 talks about, the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. So give a sacrifice of praise. Thank you, Father, for your healing. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. Just take a moment, because God is real and he hears these prayers and we expect him to answer. And so we're thanking him now for those answers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let faith begin to rise within you, knowing that greater is the one that is in you than the one that is in the world. Knowing that you serve a God that moves and has and is living. He's alive. He is. And he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so, Father, we set our faces as your children. We set our faces as your people to seek you. And you promise in your scripture that if we seek you, we will find you. When we search for you with all of our heart, you say, I will be found. I will allow, you're saying, us to find you. And so, Lord, set us on that quest. We seek you to find you, to know you in even deeper ways. Father, I pray that you will bless each and every person that is listening to this. I pray, Lord, that your blessing will rest upon them and that your provision will be theirs, that your protection will be theirs, that you would bless them, their families, their children, their grandchildren, their parents, that, Lord, generations will praise you. And so, Lord, not only do we invite your blessing over us, but, Lord, we bless you. And we praise you because you are worthy of our praise. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.